You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You needn't be a communist to care about your community.
Don't touch that, it's growing. Be careful, you guys.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
There's no weed.
Yes, Ben, you can speak into the mic if you'd like. I mean, you can, if you want.
Unsilenced.
This week for the Community Garden, I spoke to Everybody Eats about...
Does everybody eat the Oscar?
That is the question.
Do they?
And that's what we address. but yeah, we talk about food management and food waste. We talk about food inequity. According to a 2014 survey, 1 in 6 Kiwis ran out of money for food, which is equivalent to roughly 750,000 people. What do you think this tells us about the landscape of food in Aotearoa?
I think it's less about the landscape of food and more about the landscape of how wealth and money is distributed. I think for sure food has become more and more expensive, especially quality ingredients that most people would consider healthy. But the fact that people are running out of money, to me, tells us more about how much money people have than anything about the food.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, actually. And I think that often people, as you say as well, the drive for healthy food and kind of like the ethical eating trends have kind of almost driven what seems to be a basic right, perhaps out of the hands of a lot of people. One third of food goes to waste, which is equivalent to 1.3 billion tons of food a year. Yet we talk about entering into a world of scarcity with food. As you say, are our issues with food perhaps not with the production of it, but perhaps the distribution of it?
While we certainly have issues with the way that we produce our food, there's a lot of fossil fuels tied up in the way that we typically produce food, especially in the West. But yeah, the issue is certainly, or the most glaring issue is a distribution issue. A very obvious thing that we do at Everybody Eats is take food that would otherwise go to waste and feed it to people that can't necessarily afford to sit down and have a restaurant quality meal. So we can easily feed all of these hungry people, these 1 in 6 in New Zealand or whatever it might be in other countries and continents, with this food that we're currently not putting in human stomachs. So absolutely we have a huge distribution issue.
As you were saying, yeah, with the production as well, I think it's something we forget about. Dr. Ratan Lal, who's the Professor of Soil Science at Ohio State University, calculated that over the last 150 years, roughly 476 billion tons of carbon has been emitted from our farmland soil due to inappropriate farming methods and grazing methods. We can go on to have a look at agriculture, which is now directly responsible for 14% of total greenhouse gas emissions, and broader rural land use is even a larger amount than that. I think it's an interesting thing as well, because when you look at the 1.3 billion tons of food, like, it's not just 1.3 billion tons of food. There's a lot behind it, as you say, that goes into the production of it, fossil fuels and stuff. How do you think we work around this? Or how do you think we can work around this to make a less wasteful food production system as well as being less wasteful in the long term?
Yeah, I think you touched on something really interesting there, and it's really important for people to recognise that when food goes to waste, they're not only throwing away that food, they're throwing away the energy embedded in that food. So that might be some soil that was degraded, that might be some petrol that was in the truck that drove it to the supermarket, that might be the packaging that it was wrapped in, that might be the labour of the person that sorted it on the sorting table. There's all of this energy and resource tied up in the food that, yes, we are throwing away. It's a huge problem, a massive systemic issue, and my fairly cynical take on it is that in the West, in countries like New Zealand, we have probably two generations that have been lost in terms of our understanding of food. So people that are kind of between the ages of 15 and 50, for the most part, don't understand where their food comes from. If you talk to your grandmother or your great-grandmother, she probably knew how to pull the feathers out of a chicken. She probably knew how to grow a tomato. She probably knew how to tend to soil. Whereas if you speak to your average 30, 40, 50-year-old now, they don't have a clue. They're used to walking into the supermarket and finding their meat sitting in a styrofoam tray wrapped in plastic, and that's what food means to them. So it doesn't surprise me that we're so willing to throw food away because we have no connection to it. We don't know how it came to be. And it's the same with our clothing and so many other things. We don't know what goes into producing the things that we consume. Therefore, we have less desire to look after them or treat them with respect.
Certainly, certainly. Do you think that perhaps centralizing food production or integrating food production into the urban environment where there are more people, as is seen in areas like Havana, where roughly 90% of all food is produced within the city walls, would A, help create greater understanding of our food production methods, B, perhaps lessen the kind of travel effects of transporting food great distances from intensive rural agricultural sites, and C, also perhaps create a greater amount of food equity as there is greater access to it?
Yeah, I think urban agriculture is one of many solutions. There's not going to be one silver bullet that's going to solve this problem. But an interesting thing to touch on when you mentioned Cuba is that there, if you graph sustainability in terms of countries that are living within what we call the planetary boundaries, that are not consuming more than one Earth's worth of resources, and then you also graph on the other axis countries that have the standard of living, Cuba is the only country in the world that has what's considered to be an acceptable standard of living and is also sustainable and that it's not consuming more than the Earth can cope with. If you speak to anyone that's been to Cuba from a country like New Zealand, one of the things they'll tell you is that they were shocked at the poverty. So what's really interesting is that if we want to actually be more like Cuba, we're going to have to reduce our standard of living most likely to a state which most of us won't be comfortable living in. So it's a bit of a tricky one, really. I'm sure that we can implement different forms of urban agriculture that might be more suitable, but I think we've got a long way to go if we're about to suddenly solve this problem and stop consuming two or three planets worth of resources.
What are the solutions to the food crisis that you find most interesting?
Wow, what are the solutions to the food crisis? I think reconnecting people with food is hugely important. I think if we can get more and more people to understand where their food comes from, they'll be less likely to waste it. They'll be more likely to eat more nutritious food. And that's certainly something that I observed in research I was doing in the UK. I'm really, really happy to see the changes that are being made in terms of commercial food waste. So, you know, we constantly use this term, one third of food is wasted. Well, it's not entirely accurate. What I would say is one third of food that we produce for our species doesn't end up in the stomach of our species. So in countries like New Zealand, we're actually doing a really, really good job of dealing with commercial food waste. So I've been working in this space for about 3 years, and I'm really, really pleased to see that most big businesses that I'm aware of are doing the right thing with their food. So that means the first thing you do is you donate it so that it can be consumed by humans, and if it's not suitable to be consumed by humans, you try and feed it to animals, and then the next best thing to do is to compost it. So I think we've come a long way, and this food waste problem is somewhat being solved. We still waste a huge amount of food in our households, and that's something that's probably going to be quite challenging to change. But yeah, there's so many different things that we need to focus on. It's a really difficult one to tackle in sort of one answer.
Got one last question for you. What is the role of food within a community?
Food, for me, food is the best tool we have for bringing people together. Food is the most communal thing that we have. Food is actually what made us humans. Cooking is what made us humans. Depending on your religious background or your scientific knowledge, the general consensus is that once upon a time we were primates running around grabbing food here and there, hunting-gathering. When we realised how to cook, we created an occasion rather than just a meal, so that the fire brought everyone together around something, and we communed. And that's what made us humans, what made us these hugely social creatures. So for me, food is community, and that's why one of the big parts everybody eats is this idea of bringing people from different walks of life, cultures, socioeconomic backgrounds together. And food is just the best way to do that because it's the common ground that we all have. We all have to eat. There are other things, music, art, that are good for bringing people together. But for me, food is the most powerful one we have. So food is completely central to the building and maintaining strong communities.
I can't reach the potatoes.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
I'm going to name this one Cynthia.
Go forth and prosper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.